Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Saturday, and so we are doing our question and answer and feedback and addressing some topics that don't fit into our usual series. So again, if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can contact me at diane@wecanprepare.org, and that's our blog. And we'll be posting, we're hoping to be starting some more interactive features on the site, but there's all the contact there as well as through Blog Talk Radio. And available also, again, if you want to go more quickly, then we're going through the radio series, or if you just want to have all the information in front of you as we go through these radio series, we do have a lot of this information, not all of it. In fact, we are going into much greater detail on the radio, but we do have a book series. It's called the Eternal Life Series, and it consists of three books: Practical Christianity, Getting Healed, and Knowing God. And that series is available. You can also buy individual books, but I do recommend getting all three, just because they are basically three chords of a braid, and they intertwine, the information intertwines. So you don't really get, it's instead of them building 1, 2, 3, it's 1A, 1B, and 1C. They're all the same, covering a lot of the same information, but you can't put it, because so much of the information that we talk about here is new, well, presented new, well, and unfortunately new to many Christians, we have had to start with some real basic information. And to do that, it's just taken, it takes a lot of words. It takes a lot of covering of and clarifying terms and topics. So to do that, we did take a lot of time going over some of our approaches in as clear as possible a way. And to do that, this information is basically, it's all one set of information. It's just all, it's broken up in hopefully easy to understand. And from what we understand, we've gotten great feedback on its usefulness and helpfulness. So I encourage you to get that series. And again, get all three books if you possibly can. And you can contact me if you have any problems. There's a form there, and you can either email there's a downloadable order form, or you can order online through PayPal or any other service that you're already familiar with. You don't have to sign up for these services anymore. You can just use your debit card through them without registering as a member, for instance, of PayPal. So it's just like ordering from any other store. In fact, it's a little easier because, again, you don't have to register with them, become a member of them. So I encourage you to do that. They probably also would make really great gifts if you want to get into a discussion with someone and you've been enjoying what we've been teaching here. This would be a great way to do it, because it would be something that either small groups or you and your family or friends could really spark some interesting conversations. And in kind of a backdoor way, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today, is we recognize we're in this process of learning and trying to understand who God is, what our responsibility is, and how we are to handle our life here. You know, what does God expect of us? And none of us wants to be in the dark. We want to have control. We want to have clarity. And that's true for Christians and non-Christians. I mean, when you think about the acceptability and the popularity of occultic activity, everything from horoscopes to palm reading to, you know, you used to be able to call in, talk to a psychic hotline. And these are pretty much common throughout our culture, where it's now acceptable to consult, you know, fill in the blank, how that's presented, whether it's your past life reading or, you know, glimpsing into your future, that why we do that is we want to have an understanding about what we're going through now. And we want that understanding because we think that understanding will give us peace. Well, understanding will make this life that we're going through right now easier, or at least bearable. And because we are still so dependent on our soul, we are still in the process of being weaned from relying on our own strengths and covering up and hiding our weaknesses. When something comes along that fills that gap, that satisfies that need, we accept it. A thirsty man in the desert, someone comes along and offers him water, we'll drink it. They'll ask questions later. And when they see what, when that thirsty man in the desert sees that glass of water, he drinks it and then finds out later it was poison. Or that the person who gave him the water, now you owe them. Or you're grateful and they use that against you. The bottom line here is that very often we give authority in our lives to those who meet our needs. And we've talked before about how our needs are for love, acceptance, and value. We want to be recognized as a unique person, as contributing something different from everyone else. And of course, we all want to be loved unconditionally and accepted unconditionally. Now, spiritually, God has already met those needs. You have to experience that to be able to really get a grasp of that, though. Me just telling you God has already met those needs may not mean anything, because until you have experienced God, it is going to be a foreign concept. For many of us, the whole concept of God is more summed up in religious terms. That he is defined by a set of requirements, that in order to know him, we must do this, this, and this, or to keep from going to hell and to go to heaven instead, this is what he requires. And if we do A, B, and C, then we won't go to hell and we'll go to heaven. God's perspective and desire is much more focused on relationship. And we've talked many times about the distinctions between the three realms of reality: the natural realm, the supernatural realm, and the spiritual realm. And how when we accept that God has met all of our needs, and that without his intervention, none of our needs are truly met, we can meet our soulical needs and natural needs temporarily, but only he can meet them permanently. And once we accept that, he gives us a new spirit. He remakes us. He creates a new thing that had not existed before, you as a spiritual being. And when he does that, because you are a new spirit being in him, your spirit begets spirit. What is, you don't plant corn and come up with an apple tree. When you plant corn, you get corn. When you plant apple seeds, you get an apple tree. Well, the same way with us. We've been born and birthed as spirit beings. So we have his same characteristics, his same qualities. And spiritually, all our needs are met. So spiritually, there is no issue regarding authority. And by authority, I mean, who is going to be the final word? Who or what or how or when or why or where is the final word? Who gets the final say? Spiritually speaking, you are already in full agreement with God. You are not making any decisions spiritually. Your past, present, and future are already laid before you, and you've embraced them and are excited about them. So spiritually, there is no additional authority needed. So what is the next realm? Well, the realms we have problems with are the natural realm and the supernatural realm. And in the supernatural realm, that's where our soul, our mind, will, and emotions, what the scriptures sometimes also refer to as our heart, our consciousness, our personality, all resides on the supernatural realm. And we've gotten so used to allowing whatever meets our needs, we give it authority over our lives. This is one of the reasons we spend so much time in these series talking about how we test what we hear or what we're being taught. That our first response is always, God, what is your viewpoint here? God, is that you? Lord, what do you have to say about this? We do that because we recognize that he, and we as spiritual beings, he is our authority. and we submit to that authority when we ask him first. And it is your soul submitting to your spirit in him that is submitting. Again, your spirit is one with him and one in him. So what our processes are doing is we are training and teaching and developing a habit of giving authority only to God. Now, we know that habits can be very hard to overcome. Bad habits are hard to overcome, and good habits are hard to develop. And they take time and they take work. So we give them time and we put in the work. Because we recognize, we need to recognize, that developing the habit of recognizing and submitting to spiritual authority is one of the most significant ways our soulical needs are met. Now, in the process of doing that, a couple of things happen. Well, a lot of things happen, but specifically, those that have been in masquerading as spiritual authority in our lives, as attempting to meet our true needs, are going to get kicked off that throne. And I'm sure you know that. They don't like that. When there's been a, when there's being a change in the status quo, you know, someone has always been able to tell you what to do. And when you start questioning, well, wait a minute, that I asked God about that, and that's not what he thinks I should do. And when you start questioning some of these people or places or things or beliefs, even in our own minds we go through this. You know, I ask God and he says this is how to handle it. But I always thought that, and I've always been taught that, this is the way to handle it. And we'll have these questions in our own minds, our own hearts. And so it's important going back to, okay, where is the spiritual authority? It's the only unchanging authority, the only authority that meets our needs. And again, who meets our needs is who we give authority to. That's not a philosophical comment, that's a realistic, practical comment. If someone is going to meet your needs and they tell you to start doing this, that, or the other thing, you'll do it. And if you do it for a long period of time, it becomes such a strong habit that when you do start questioning it, it causes problems with that relationship. So you're going to have to be aware of that, that when you question what you believe, your beliefs, can we say, are going to resist that. They're going to put up a fight. Because what you're doing is kicking yourself life out of God's throne. If you want to get along with God, stay out of his chair. And don't let anyone else sit in it either. And I think we've settled this before, but let's be very clear. God is real. with our own minds, with our solical minds and our solical understanding, we cannot fully comprehend and understand all the dimensions of God. But He can and is making Himself understood. It's not that we're able to understand Him, but that He's fully capable of revealing Himself to us in ways that we can comprehend and understand. That's His job. It's His job to make Himself known to us, to make Himself real to us. Our challenge is that so often we reject His overtures because it doesn't line up with what has been at least partially meeting our needs. Our beliefs, our lifestyles, our church involvement, our plans for the future. When we find out the simplicity of God's expectations for us, He's not concerned about building a kingdom. The kingdom's built. He is the kingdom, and we've already entered in if we are born into Him. You know, we think about Jesus hanging on the cross and how horrendous that was. And we talk about how when Jesus was in the desert and being tempted by the devil and by all the physical challenges of fasting for 40 days. So he was tempted in all ways, both his soul and his body. And what that means is that when you're tempted, it means you can do something about it. He was tempted to do something about his situation. Now, let's go back to the cross. Think about that. All Jesus was on the cross. He didn't want to be there. He didn't want to be going through what he was going through. But he had decided. His Father had told him what he was going to be requiring of him. And Jesus agreed. And because he knew the Father, he knew how to get strength from him. He knew all his needs were already met and how to, he already was able to plan how he was going to go through the process. Now just remember, Jesus had all power and authority available to him at all times. Yet, instead of coming to earth and doing what he wanted to do, what made him feel good, he came and did what his Father wanted him to do. And I think of him on that cross and how difficult it was not just to go through the pain of that situation and the separation, but of preventing, of keeping his solical authority, his solical being submitted to his spirit. By that I mean, he could have gotten down off that cross with just a thought. He could have had the host of heaven's army sweep through and destroy all the Romans, everyone there, and all the Pharisees at any time, just by a thought. He could have destroyed the earth just by a thought. And yet, he recognized that and had already decided who was the authority in his life, and then had developed habits based on recognizing that all his needs were met by his relationship with his father, that he and the father were one, and that's what he now wishes for us, that we and him and the father would all be one, and that we would develop those habits of looking to him as our only true spiritual authority, that he is real, that he is a living God. That's what makes our God different, is that he's alive and well and speaks to us clearly. And he's already met all of our needs. And that his desire is that we be ready for whatever he brings into our lives. Tribulation comes to all of us, whether it be our car breaking down or a dreadful illness in our children. The rain falls on the just and the unjust, so we're not going to get out of this life without going through difficulties. But it's between those difficulties that we can learn to submit and become swallowed up by the only true spiritual authority. That's God himself. So that's why we keep on turning to him and saying, God, is that you? Because we are developing that habit that even on the cross, what was Jesus thinking about? He was not thinking about all the people who had done him wrong, or even what the results would be of his actions. He was submitting to the spiritual authority of his father actively, because again, all he had to do was give it a thought, and he could have finished it then. Now, we have that same opportunity to know Father as closely as the Son does. Because you are a son. I am a son, a joint heir, a co-inheritor. We're not stewards or shepherds or workmen or bond slaves. We're sons. We're part of the family. And when we start acting or believing anything less, we're arguing with God. God knows exactly what you need. God knows what information you need, what change you need, what beliefs you have and what your history is. And he knows what's in store for you, and you do too. And he deals with each one of us and trains us and helps and develops those habits that we will need to be ready. Our job is to cooperate with him and be aware that the greatest help we can do, the greatest cooperation we can do, is turn to him as the authority in our life. I'm not talking about, you know, breaking the law or the police or anything like that. We're just talking about as far as matters relating to God. We've talked about the others in other forums. So, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. I'll see you Monday at 7:30. Thank you. Have a great weekend.